You know, God said once revival starts, it's never going to stop. And this is the 16th day. We've been doing good. Amen. God is good. I want to welcome all of you out tonight. We really had some wonderful times. God really did some changing, rearranging in lives. And we're excited with what God's doing and where he's taking us to in the spirit realm. You know, he's not going to let us sit here and be stagnant, but he's taking us deeper and higher, and he's going to keep going on and on and on. We're not going to stop. Are you ready for that? Yahoo! That's great. Because if you're not, well then, bye. Because God said he's not going to wait around for any stragglers. We have to be ready to go right now. If you have a need tonight, God wants to meet it. So if you didn't get it met, which you might have during praise and worship, just keep believing that God's going to meet that need. And you guys are old and feeble. You don't have to be old and feeble. God wants to revive you and give you back your youth. Amen? You know, you can either decide to be old or you don't have to be, you know. Some of you people that are older, you know, sometimes you sit there and think, boy, you know, I really should just relax now, you know, but then your body said, your body says relax now, but your mind said, not going to do that. So you make that old body get up and get moving. You know, body gets young again. It really does. It just gets revived and it just wants to keep on going. We're never going to grow old, right? That's the right answer. Never going to grow old. We don't have to grow old. You know, we can just stay young and just go right on up in to meet the Father like Enoch did, right? Come on. There isn't anywhere in the Bible that says my body really has to die in order to go to heaven. It doesn't say that. Enoch just was, and then he wasn't. So he didn't die. So why don't we be like Enoch? Forgot the other guy's name, Elijah. Was it Elijah? Elijah. I got two of them mixed up. He didn't die either. He went on up in to be with the Father, right? So why do we all think we have to die and have a funeral and then to go to heaven? We don't have to do that. Amen? Come on. Some people say, well, I've just lived long enough. I don't know why I'm on this, but somebody in here might be feeling like this. I just lived long enough now. Father, I'm just ready to go on home and be with you. Well, no, he might not be finished with you yet. You know, he might have a work for you to do yet. Because he said he's going to use the young, the old, and in between. Isn't that what he said? We all have something to offer the body of Christ. So let's just not be too quick to go to heaven. Let's just stay here till God's finished with us. Let's do our work and let's put in our part. Because our part is important. No matter what your part is, it's important to the works that God's getting ready to do. The greater works. You realize that we're going into the greater works, don't you? Yes. All right. As long as you know that. Well, Father, I was just giving you time to do what you wanted to do. And so right now, I just thank you and I praise you for everybody that came out tonight. I thank you for the excitement in the air. I thank you for the joy and the vibrancy. I thank you, Father God, for the people that really do want to rejoice and dance before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I thank you, Father God, that they didn't come in dead and they didn't remain dead and they're not going to go out dead, but they come in alive and expecting. Now, Father, you meet their expectancy tonight. And, Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a really good sermon put together about, I'm not going to tell you about what because I'm going to be preaching it later. But anyhow, and then God sent me in a different direction. So we're going to go in that direction tonight, and I know why. I know why we're going in that direction. The first thing I want you to do is watch a little clip that I have that I ran across. Somebody sent in my email. That's how I ran across it, all right? I want you to listen to it, watch it, listen to it, and then I'll be back, all right? Don't leave. Don't leave. So you ready to show that? Go ahead.
One night, I look up in the air and say,
come on, there must be more than just go to a church and sit there 2 hours every Sunday and listen to somebody preaching. And at one time, I started to just read the book of Acts, read about the first Christians, how they were living. They were not just sitting in a church every Sunday and listen to a sermon. They saw how life got changed where they came.
We know Constantine, he came and he turned Christianity into a state religion. we see through church history that this hierarchy, this institutionalized church was following us all the way to the Reformation, where Luther came, Calvin came, Zwingli came. They were trying to reform, they were trying to bring us back to the real gospel, back to the book of Acts. But they failed.
Jesus said, "Go out and make disciples of all nations."
God's given us the same authority and the same power that Jesus himself had in the first century. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
I really think that when the church comes back to a true gospel, repent, turn to Christ, be baptized for the remission of your sins, die with Christ and rise with Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit, that will change this world.
It's time to go back to what we read in the book of Acts.
I was walking like this.
Okay.
Because I couldn't move any faster.
What you can do now?
The Bible's the book of life. It doesn't become the book of life by studying it. It becomes the book of life by living it.
You know, this healing happened how? By the power of Jesus.
There's freedom. There's freedom.
I was tired of looking for answers and I could not find it anywhere.
I've never spoken tongues before.
That was awesome. That's crazy amazing.
It's real. It's really real.
This is real. If this is real in the Bible, what about the rest? Every word is real. From the beginning to the end.
Me and Laura and I were just saying, shall we pray that we see a sign in the sky when we get baptized? I turned and I looked up and I saw real written in the sky.
The Last Reformation is actually moving across the globe right now. This is just the beginning.
We need a new reformation of the church. We need a last reformation.
And that has truly changed my life. And now I preach that message until the day I die.
Did you all get the gist of that? Haven't we been saying go out in the highways and the byways? In the summertime, if you're at the beach, why can't you say, would you like to get baptized? You have the authority to do that, and then go baptize them in the beach, in the ocean, wherever the ocean, right? Amen? You saw what they did. They went on the streets and just ministered to the people. They were healed. Why are we content to come and sit in a building? I mean, we have to have church be taught because God did a lot in these last 15 days. But still in all, so we receive all this. Now let's start giving it out. Let's start on our workplaces. Start prophesying to people. Start laying hands on the sick. I know a pastor who every time she just loves to go to restaurants. She'll just go to the restaurant and go around from table to table prophesying to everybody in the place. And people used to always make fun of her. I said, don't ridicule her. She's doing what God told her to do. Go out among the people. Go out to the nations. Nations is people. So I just want to encourage each one of you in here tonight to quit being content at sitting in a building. Now, please go to your church. I didn't say don't go to church. Go out there. When I was out there, I used to always minister to people. And we need to be doing that today. There's a lost and dying world out there. I told you about the doctor that goes to the place where the people are living on the streets. What was it, 670,000 are homeless in America? That's a lot of homeless people out there that could be ministered to. Amen. We really have a job to do and we're not doing it. We're just sitting. I don't know if you guys go to McDonald's, but I know some older men that go to McDonald's every morning. You ought to go in there and start prophesying to the people if you do. Start laying hands on them and watching them recover, you know. when my mother was, before she came to live with me, she used to go to the restaurant someplace, and the little ladies would sit and take all their pills, and they said, see who had was taking the most pills every day. Dear Lord, Mother. And I thought, but why not go there and pray for one another? Prophesy over one another. Do you have, if you have the gift of prophecy, use it. Use it. God said, but don't abuse it. But use it. And let people see that, that God has a plan for their life. He really does have a plan for their life. All right, let's go down to the next thing then. The Lord is extracting grief from his people. I ran across this prophetic word. I didn't run across it. It came over on my computer today. And it said, the Lord is extracting grief from his people. And I know that's what he was doing these 15 days that we were here. He did an awful lot of deep work. He is extracting it in only the way he could. There are some who have totally come to a place where they've lost hope. You felt like giving up. The Lord says in Psalm 139:8, where else can you go? Where else can you go? Can you make your bed in hell? If you do, I'll chase you down. If you go to the left, if you go to the right, if you climb the mountain and go back into the world, I'll chase you down. Why? Because I love you and I have placed my value within you. This is all prophetic word, all right? You're a masterpiece. Don't you know that I've created you for not only this time, but for generations to come? That's why it's been hard for you. That's why it's been difficult, because I've been building something enormous within you. Get this. You know, you have not been coming to not to these services anyhow, just for nothing. God's been building something, his kingdom inside of you. So that's why it's been difficult, because I've been building something enormous within you, within the depths of your soul, within the depths of your spirit. See, God has been going really, really, really super deep into our spirit, man. I've gained so much insight in these last 15 days. You'd think I'd have it by now, but I don't. Job 23:12 says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. This is what Job says. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. God will do whatever he wants to with us. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Job knows that whatever God is doing to his life, he's doing it for Job's purpose. Amen. Psalm 2:4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. And Luke 19:41-43. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, if even you, especially in this your day, the things that make your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. This is Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. And then Jesus, God goes on to say, see, you just thought the devil was attacking you. But do you know that I sit in heaven and laugh? I laugh and I laugh and I laugh and I weep at the same time, because I know your potential. I know the fullness of who you are. See what he's saying to us? He laughs over our enemies, but he weeps over us, because we are not using the full potential that God has placed within inside of us for his kingdom. The unquenchable fire in you. All I'm asking is for you to open your life completely to me. Isn't that what he's been saying to us for quite some time now? He wants all of us, so that I can take you here to there, take you here to there, so that I can help you understand where you are in life. If we don't understand where we're at, we're never going to be any good for God. But God said, all I'm asking is for you to open your life completely to me, so that I can take you here to there, so that I can help you understand where you are in life, so that I can put something within you, a resolve that will rise up and say, I'm not going there. I'm not going back to that place. I'm not going back to those people and those relationships that took me down. Until we get to this place right here that God's telling us in this prophetic word, we're never going to amount to anything in God. And so what does it say? I'm not going back there. I'm not going back to that place. I'm not going back to those people and those relationships that took me down. But God said he's putting a resolve in us that's going to allow us to say that. He's going to strengthen us. Then God goes on to say, you see, you know you can't. Because I put a fire in you that is unquenchable. In other words, he's saying you can't go back to those places anymore. Oh yes, your soul wants to pull and wants to tug, but I put such a fire in you that will not relent. No man put this fire in you. I put this fire in you by the power of the dwelling place, the resting place of the Godhead within you. See, God is trying to put a deep thing in us that will say, no, I am not going back to that place of evil ever again. I'm God's, and I'm going to remain God's forever. Then God says, you see, I turned and I turned and I turned and I turned to show you my 360. Just to reveal around the corner and up the street and down the road, my simplicity and touch of the wisdom of my words. When you were going through hell, I was there, and you know I was. Because we all know we wouldn't be standing here today if he wasn't there with us. Then God goes on to say, when you were in the pit, I visited you, and I gave you another breath to make it another step. We all could say amen to that. But what you didn't realize was a depth that you couldn't see that I was building in you layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And we couldn't see that. But God's been revealing that to us. And we have begun to see that deep thing that he's been doing deep down inside of us. God goes on to say, you see, that layer is for more than your legacy. It's for those you carry within your heart. You have young ones and you have old ones and you have those that surround your life that you care so much for. Now look at this next statement God made. But don't you know that I gave them the spirit and the breath before the foundations of the world? I gave them a blueprint and a plan. So carry them in a way that's not unhealthy. Now let's stop there. You know, we sit here and we say that God knew us before the beginning of the earth. We say that we sit with God and he talked to us and gave us assignment and sent us here to earth. But when we look at one of our unsaved loved ones, where do you think they were before they came here? We never take into, you know, and I had to really sit and look at this when I read this, what God said. We never sit and think they were the same place we were before we came here. And, you know, we were sinners at one time too. But God has brought us through. Now let's read this again. What he says about these, and so I want you to understand this. They are the same people that you are. Except they're still in sin and you're not. And thank God for it. But don't you know that I gave them the spirit and the breath before the foundations of the earth and world? I gave them a blueprint and a plan. So he talked to them too and told them what he wanted them to do. But just like you, they went astray. You're turned around. You're turned around so you can help them turn around, right? Did the light bulb go on yet? Did it go on? So carry them in a way that's not unhealthy. See, we're not treating them right. Yes, you know where you crossed over. But listen, I'm not condemning you. All I'm saying is open your hands and open your heart. Open that place where you've carried them a little too far. See that? Isn't this eye-opening? You see why God wants us to see this tonight? He said the backsliders are coming back. And he said the world is waiting for us to get ourselves together so we can go and minister to them. So now we understand that they're the same as we are. But unsaved. Let me have them completely and entirely. Quit holding on to your loved ones. When you do, you're going to see an acceleration happen that you've only dreamed of. Hello. Did you get that in your spirit? We're going to read the whole thing all over again. I want you to get this in your spirit tonight because it's very imperative that you understand that your lost loved ones were in heaven at one time too. Talk to God the way we did. was sent down here to the earth with an assignment, but they got sidetracked just like you and I did along the way. And quit condemning them and judging them. Just let God said, give them over to me. Quit. Just quit holding. Just give them to me and forget about it. Move on to something else. Are you going to do that tonight? Are you going to turn that loved one loose now? And because you know now that God already gave them a blueprint and a plan, and God is working on that person. He really is. Let go of the familiar, God says. Yes, I'm taking grief away from you today, and it's being extracted right out of your life. Don't hold on to the familiar. Don't hold on to those things that you're so used to. Trying to survive the battle, trying to survive another day, trying to survive another week or another year. You know where that has gotten you. Nowhere. You've been tormented. Take your mind and place it where it needs. Now listen to what God says. This is God speaking now. Take your mind and place it where it needs to be, in the center of your second mind, which is your spirit. Take your mind and replace it with your spirit. I want you to do that tonight. Say, mind, you no longer exist. I'm taking you, placing you into my spirit where it belongs. Because what gets you in the most trouble is your stinking thinking, right? It's this mind up here that goes haywire. Live out of your spirit, God says, and watch what I'll do this day. I'll do it in such a way, in such a manner that you've cried out for. I'm going to remind you of those prayers that you prayed for this very day. You may have forgot them, but I didn't. I didn't forget those prayers. I didn't forget those times when you shed the tear. Don't you remember where I said that I bottled them up? I don't just bottle them up in some jar that I set on a shelf. No, they have your name on them. And I wish you guys would believe that tonight. God does bottle up each and every one of your tears, and your name is on there. Somebody went to heaven and saw them. I cherish them, and I hold them close and dear to me. I've seen every tear. I've seen every tear, every last one of them. And Psalm 56:8 says, you number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then God says, I will accomplish what I've set out to do in your heart and in your life. I will do it. I will do it. It may not look like it right now. It may look totally contrary to what you have seen in the past, but that's okay. Then Isaiah 49:16 says, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Then God went on to say, I hold you and I hold everything in my hand. Everything that concerns you, I hold closely. I've got it all laid out. I've got it all laid out. Oh, you can turn the other way if you want. I hear you saying, but Lord, but Papa, but Father, that's okay. I'm not intimidated by that. I'm not intimidated by your buts. I'm not intimidated. That's okay. I'll turn it around. I'll turn it around. I'll turn it all around. That's the God you not only serve, but the one that you are friends with. I call you my friend. That was God's word. It was a powerful word. Amen. And if you can't get alive in that, then you're dead. You need to go somewhere and get redunked, reglorified. Amen. Come on, guys. God is real. His spirit is real. God is on his throne. Aren't you sick and tired of going into church worldly and coming out worldly? Aren't you sick and tired of living this doldrum life that you live? And God wants so much more for his people. We've got ourselves so wrapped up in the world that we can't see what God's trying to do with us. And God forbid you walk into a spirit-filled church and God tells you you're in trouble. How dare you? Well, he dare. Because he cares for you and he does not want you to go to hell. I allow him to chastise me. I don't know about you, but I allow him to chastise me. I don't want to walk around fooled and one day end up in hell when I stand before him and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I don't know you. Come on. Well, I'm saved, sanctified, and I have a seat in heaven. Do you? Do you? God told me one day, he's a daughter, he said, you be careful because you have to work out your salvation. You could work lose your salvation in a given second. You have to work it out every day. But a lot of people say once saved, always saved. That's not true. It's not true. And we need to quit living like that. And we need to quit living like we can sin and it's okay with God. It's not all right with God. If you had been here and heard all the different things he told us, he gave us some wonderful things. He's a wonderful, I serve a wonderful God. Do you all serve the same God? Yes. He's a God of more than enough, isn't he? And he's a God that does not let you die in the vine. And he's a God that will tell you when you're going astray. He's not going to sit there and say, well, poor thing. They're going to die and go to hell, but, you know, that's their lot. No, that's not our lot in life. Our lot in life is to do the things God's calling us for to do here in this earth, get out there and minister to the people that's lost and dying, and one day then sit in heavenly places. Amen. Is it football season yet? You know, these men, they all gather together and get all their popcorn and peanuts and their hot wings and whatever they eat, you know, and yell and scream and carry on and don't want you to bother them for nothing and don't even know God for tiddly. Or else you go to church on Sunday and forget him. Why don't you throw a party for Jesus? Invite the fellas over. Say, hot wings tonight. Whatever you guys like to eat, you know? Pizza. Mom, we're going to have a party. And everybody wants to go to a party, right? And when they get in there, say, Jesus loves you. And have a party with them, telling them all about how God loves them. You tricked me. No, I didn't. I just told you I was having a party. You like, so you came. I didn't trick you. You didn't have to come when I gave you an invitation, right? And God told me we're just supposed to be on the party mode. That's why we had the whistle. He said, I want you in the party mode. I want you dancing and singing and rejoicing before me. Why not? You did that when you went to the bar. Come on. So why not do it when you go in the house of God? Why do you want to come in here and act dead? I used to do that when I was first started church, and God said, you quit that mess. You know, he's a happy God. He rejoices over his people, and he loves us. All right, I have something else I want to share with you. Somebody else, God took him somewhere on a vision. How many of you ever gone on a trip with God? Be honest. Well, put your hand up if you did. Say, you really had a vision. Isn't that wonderful? Not only a trip, you had a vision, right? Saw something. Well, this is what this young man did. I didn't do the whole thing. I just did what I wanted to show you here. All right, seasons and times is what he called it, and a time to build. He was up in heaven with God, and they were in heaven walking through this big, looked like a library. And he said, we passed many columns and dates until we finally stopped at a section indexed with the year 2014. The Lord could see that I was puzzled and immediately answered my look by telling me. Isn't it awesome how everybody says that you don't have to talk to God? He answers your questions before you ever ask him. He answered my look by telling me, each section you can see here represents a dispensation of time that the church has walked through. His guy's name was Daryl. Each one represented a new season for the church. This is a record room called Seasons and Times. In this place, a record is kept of everything that is released from heaven onto earth. The reason you can see 2014 at the start of this section is because a new time period started in that year. Remember the switch we felt? There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. We find that in Ecclesiastes 3:1. God smiled again and continued to walk with me down through this section where I could see that all the documents and books were set in a perfect chronological order. As we walked, we passed down through the year starting at January 2014 and then moved down toward the year 2016. The Lord then stopped me at one particular shelf between the end of 2015 and the beginning months of 2016, pulled out a document and handed it to me. This was obviously some sort of manual, but before I could look at it more closely, it changed form, becoming a beautiful ancient scroll. The Lord then signaled for me to eat it. I thought that was interesting because he did that to John. And as I did, I could instantly see in detail each of the pages within it. A time to build. The Lord then spoke again and said, I am releasing blueprints to build with me in 2016 and 2017 and beyond, Daryl. These are designed to help to re-engineer the church to enable it to partner with me in the new mandate I'm releasing at this time. Your church cannot remain the same, or you're going to miss God. You have to be able to change. Are you listening, you guys, if you have a church? It has to change. Re-engineer, to redesign, to restructure. No, that's what I mean, to redesign, to restructure. Suddenly, I was back standing next to the Lord beside the shelves where he then immediately handed me a second manual scroll from the same row in the section. This time, however, listen to what he says here. This time, however, the process of digesting the scroll happened much faster. I was able to see very clearly. See, he couldn't see anything until he ate that scroll. That totally blows my mind. Maybe we should eat the Bible. That's a scroll. Maybe we'll be able to see it more clearly. Please don't. I was able to see very clearly that what I was eating now were blueprint plans of a very similar DNA or design to those of the harvesting machine. The reason why I was saying please don't eat the Bible, because it isn't God that told you to do that. I just jokingly said that, all right? It has to be God telling you to do something for it to result in anything. Or I said, I was able to see very clearly that what I was eating now were blueprint plans of a very similar DNA or design to those of the harvesting machine. All right, so before this, I didn't write that down, but he ate the plants and then he saw a harvesting machine. And it was harvesting souls, all right? These plans, on the other hand, were for the construction of a building. Listen to this. The blueprint designed for the redevelopment of local churches. I could feel the delight of the Lord as I gazed upon the plans and felt that he had been waiting for the release of this mandate with great excitement. Now look at what else he saw. The nursery. As I continued to observe this new blueprint in its beautiful design, I could not help but to get a little confused by the shape of the new construct I was beholding. I was able to see the end result clearly, but as I looked at the plans from above, I could not understand why there was another largely out of proportion building attached to one side of the beautiful design. The Lord smiled and said, "That's the nursery, Daryl." I'm excited about this because God has told us a year ago to start rebuilding, and we've been doing that. This is why I got excited. You might not be excited about this, but I am. So I'm going to let you have some of my excitement, all right? All right, it all suddenly became crystal clear. I saw a vision within the vision of a multitude of new believers sitting and learning the basic principles of the faith, being instructed and taught in the way they should go. And that's in Proverbs 22:6. I now understood that this specific blueprint was being released in conjunction with the first to enable churches to easily rework their internal and, where needed, external structures to accommodate for an incredible harvest. So if you have a big church, and you know, he's going to have you reconstruct the inside, but if you have a small church, he's going to have you add two so you have room for the new souls that are coming into your church. Now, are you ready for this? Is your church really gearing up for the harvest that this church is? Are your churches gearing up for the harvest that God is sending in? Are you just sitting there just contemplating whatever you contemplate and not really listening to the voice of God or not really understanding what God's wanting to do? All right. I knew too that within these blueprints were strategies for finance, strategies for the raising and equipping of teachers, and even for the building of new buildings. Do you understand why he moved you from West Virginia to here? He said he's moving people from state to state to get them in churches where he wants them, so he can have the people he needs in the churches to do what he needs done when he does this great reconstructing. Amen. I believe that we are entering into a time. This is all this young man speaking. I believe that we are entering into a time of incredible acceleration, where blueprints in various forms are being released from heaven to enable us to partner with God for the coming harvest. So I said, God, tonight I'm going to sit and look for a blueprint, you know, a vision. God said, when you're all laying on the floor last night, God said, there's a visionary in here. And then I forgot what he said. You're going to see visions or something. But so, are you the visionary? I don't know who the visionary was. God didn't tell me, but somebody here is a vision. Here, that was here last night is a visionary. And they're going to start seeing visions of what God wants done. Now he goes on to say, I believe too that thousands of churches, businesses, ministries, and individuals are about to receive incredibly detailed descriptions of their role in this new mandate. So God's going to start speaking to people about their role in what God is doing in this end time harvest. Are you understanding this? And that with this partnership, a slipstream of incredible favor, increase, and a miraculous will be experienced by all. Then he said, it's a billion soul harvest is coming. Now, why do you go to church? You go to church just so you can sit there and just dance and clap? Do you go to church so you can learn, so you can learn what God is doing? If you are, that's good. You know, you should always be going to church for a reason. Before I had to church, I always went to church for a reason. I wanted to know what God wanted me to do. And I would listen to what his preachers had to say. And what wasn't the truth, I spit out. What was the truth, I cap. I didn't argue about the word. Now, are you ready to go higher?
Yes.
I mean, you really have to really, really, really start focusing in on yourself. Not on your next door neighbor, not on your pastor, not on your wife, your husband, kids. You have to start focusing on yourself. Now, I didn't say get ignorant. I said start thinking, God, what is it you want me to do? Where do I fit into this plan, this end time plan of yours? Each one of you here tonight, I was surprised, each one of you here tonight to hear this message. Because you have to start seeking God's face. And if you already know, that's fine. Then do what God's telling you to do. You have to start seeking God's face. Where do I fit into this plan? What is my purpose? And I know my people are crying out to God all the time. What are you doing with me right now? Because you have done turned me upside down and inside out. And I don't know what my purpose is anymore. But God is going to start giving you your purpose. He's going to start telling you exactly what you want to do. Line upon line and precept upon precept. Every one of you walk through this door tonight. God is telling you, get busy. Get busy listening for his voice. Get busy sitting in his presence so he can give you the visions he wants to give you. Get busy sitting in his presence so he can take you out of your body, take you up into the heavenly realm, and give you a view, just like he did this young man here. Give you a view. A face-to-face view of really what he is doing in his church or in your life. In your life. We're all the church, you know. It is time you just quit sitting. It's time you just quit sitting and being content. It's time you start seeking God's face like never before. This church is getting ready to bust open at the seams. Everybody goes here, know that. We're going to have a new building and everything. God told me when I give you a new building, all the finances will be there that you need. You won't have to worry about no money. And what did he say here? God told him the finances are going to be there. So whatever God's calling you to do, he finances it. Are you listening? He finances it. How many years have we been in this building with a leaky roof? With no roof. Tarp. For a roof. How many years was that? About four? With no roof. And so finally the landlord said he's got a good job, you know, he got a contract or something. Now he's taking his building back, you know, he's fixing it. But now we have a roof. And somebody said, sitting behind me last night, now it's time for us to move. And I thought, and I don't mind moving. But you know, we sat here. We didn't, you know, we did what we had to do. Put out our buckets, right? Our boats, whatever. And you cleaned up the water. And we stayed. We stayed where we were at. But now God's getting ready to do a great and mighty work. So what did you do? Did you stay where things were difficult? Did you stay where things were hard to really, you know, and you had to do it with a smile? I mean, you didn't have to, but you did it with a smile. Well, God's getting ready now to exalt you. He's getting ready to escalate you into that place that he wants you to go into. And, you know, I'm hearing God say he's putting you right in the very mainstream of his ministry. And you're going to have to be ready for that mainstream ministry because it's going to be hard. The enemy's going to come after you with everything he has. Are you ready? Yeah, I'm just saying what God's saying. Are you ready for the mainstream ministry? Are you ready to get out there in the middle where the action's at, is what God is saying? Are you really ready to get out there and toot your horn? In other words, let people know that, hey, I'm not backing down. God is in my life. God is in control, and you're not going to make me say he isn't. And then keep on going. Look at the pastor that's in jail right now because he's spoke the truth, but he's still, you know, are you ready to go to jail for speaking the truth? If you're out there in the mainstream, you know, when we're out there in the mainstream, we're not in a little back country church. You're not in a hole in a wall in a town somewhere. You're out there where nobody pays any attention to you when you're in a hole in a wall. But when you're out there in the mainstream, everybody's eyes is upon you. Everybody's watching what you're doing. Are you living a life, a holy life, a life that, but if everybody looks at you, they don't see any flaws in you. They can't find anything to take you to court over. You know what I'm saying? So are you really ready for that type of a ministry? God's taught us we had to live in holiness. Snowflakes and stars. Snowflakes meant holiness, right? And stars meant light. He could have called it holiness and light revival, but he didn't. He called it snowflakes and stars. And I said, I can't believe I heard this. But we were totally amazed at what God taught us, weren't we? See, God is an awesome God. He's going to do what he wants to do, the way he wants to. How many of you are ready to let go of control? And just let God do. That's what we do here. Ever since I've been in the ministry, I just let God do what he wants to do, because otherwise nothing is going to be accomplished. Absolutely nothing. Now, if we're going to go into hospitals and heal everybody in the hospitals, we can't be out here hubbing with the devil one day and then going and being with God the next day. You have to be living a holy, concentrated life unto the Lord. You have to have integrity. And you walk in that building, them old devils of sickness and infirmity, they won't be able to stand the sight of you, and they'll just jump out and leave them people, and them people will be healed. That's the way it's going to work, because it's all devils that get you sick, you know. Are you all ready for that?
Yes.
And God's telling me to tell you, this is not a pie in the sky thing tonight. This is where the rubber's meeting the road. This is where the truth is going to be seen. And are you ready to walk the truth? Are you ready to walk out my liberty that I've given you? Are you ready to go down into hell with my mandate and set the captives free? You know, this is serious tonight. God started something on the 1st of December with us that he's not going to stop. And I want to tell you right now, if you even came to one of these meetings, he started something in your life that he is not going to stop. And he's not going to let you be mediocre. You can no longer sit in the house of God and just do. He wants you to get out there and do. Amen. How can you sit in the house of God and not be excited? If I caught you sleeping, I'd say, get awake. Come on, the house of God is no place to sleep. The homeless sleep in your bed. But don't sleep in the house of God, or the devil will get you. And the house of God is life, right? And it's light, right? I don't know about you, but I can feel the vibrancy in the air. I know that this is not going to leave, guys. This is not going to leave. And if you can get it into your spirit tonight, you guys that come here to just visit tonight, your life is going to be changed. Your whole life is going to be changed because God has brought something in here during these 15, 16 days that he's not going to take away. He's just going to increase and increase and increase. And if you can't feel that, then you need somebody to come anoint you. It's heavy. It's heavy in here tonight with God's atmosphere. God is getting ready to do something great and powerful. Do you want to be part of that army? If you want to be part of that army that God's getting ready to do something great, come on up here tonight. Because God's going to place in you something. I don't know what he is. He just wants to give you something. He didn't tell me. He just wants to give you something. Come on. Come on. This is real, guys. This is real as real can get. Watch, get behind grace, please. This is real. We don't play church. This is real. We just came, this church just came through, 10 years of dry valley experience. We are ready for this. We're not going back into that dry place. Well, we didn't go. God took us there. But we don't want no more of that, do we? We want life, and we want everlasting life.